We all go a little mad.
Get you.
All right, hello, and welcome to the Horror Hour, the place where we discuss, debate, and disagree on all things horror. I'm one of the co-hosts here, Yutaka. Hello. And today I'm joined with Liam.
Hello.
It's like the house bunny over there. And we have a special guest today. I'm super excited. We have the drag performer, Formaldehyde. Hi.
Hello. Hi. It's so good to be back. I've missed you both so much.
Oh, my God. Well, we missed you. I mean, we had so much fun actually getting to chat with you. And also this look, everyone, y'all just need to appreciate this look because that is stunning. And I'm loving the hair. I like, ah.
Thank you. This was actually supposed to be like part of my Monsters of Rock look. At least the mask and the hair was. So I'm super excited people finally get to see it. I was super proud of this mask. So It was sad that I didn't get to do it, but now I get to show it up everywhere else and I don't get to feel bad about it.
Because I am loving the eyes and it just pops. And then as we were saying earlier with the outfit too, how the green just reflects off it.
Yes.
It's stunning.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Well, today we're also excited because we brought Formaldehyde back because we're going to talk about their favorite horror franchise, Hellraiser.
Yay!
I'm so excited. And Liam, I don't know, have you actually seen prior to this? Obviously you just now finally saw 4, but had you seen any of the other ones?
I'd seen snippets when younger, but I'd never actually like sat down and watched them.
Oh, that's exciting. So this was your first like actual introduction to Hellraiser?
It was.
Oh my
God. This is going to be interesting and exciting. The last two, they hated it. I love it. It's a great, I grew up with it. It's, yes. I mean, so, well, then first off, Liam, just overall thoughts of the 4 you watched. Be honest. It's okay if you didn't like it, because I still do.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest.
So the first two, trash. I'm sorry.
What?
Actual trash. Cenobites are such a good concept and idea. And the actual Cenobites looks themselves are all so well done.
Okay.
But I feel like they're just let down drastically by the acting of like the non-Cenobite cast, the story itself, the look. Like this, for the first film, used to will get this because you're not British, but because it is set in Britain, it looks like an episode of EastEnders done after dark. Like, which it's like, so like EastEnders is like a long running soap that started in the 80s. If he said daddy in that way one more time, like, oh. And then the one who was like the auntie, the stepmom, whatever she was, the stepmom, that's it. Who did she audition for that went, you know what? She's a good actress. We'll give her.
How you say
work.
That about her?
Oh my gosh. I was like, Julia really made it. Like, she's one of the main reasons I love this series is just strictly Julia. Like, I wanted for the longest, I still do, is like Julia's own film. I want to know why she's batshit crazy, but that's just me. I loved her. She is like, amazing. In my
her
book.
First kill with the hammer?
Yeah. Oh.
We don't see anything.
It doesn't matter. It's just.
Well, that's what makes it scarier, though, because you can hear everything. That was what made me like, oh my God, it gave me the biggest chills when I first watched it. Like, oh, Julia, she was just, it was such a transformation because I didn't think she was going to have that character development. And then all of a sudden, she's just off murdering bitches left and right. Like, It was a big transformation and just within seconds.
I could just tell she was a cow. You met her and you were like, well, she's a cunt. Like, clearly she's going to murder some bitches.
Well, fair. Okay, like, I'll give you some of that. But I love the Kirstie.
Jesus Christ. That girl. Just put her down. Put her
down.
Take
Liam
her to the
is
bed.
Just
Jesus
digging
Christ.
Wow, go boxes. I love this.
But, I will say, in the third one, the fourth one's, I wouldn't say the fourth one's, even though it seems like everyone hates the fourth one, I didn't really mind the fourth one.
Of course.
But the third one was, I did enjoy the third one, because I think you got more of Pinhead.
Yes.
And more Cenobite stuff, which made it more enjoyable.
Okay.
Focusing more on them rather than humans trying to stop them.
I agree with that.
Okay. I would say I like Kirstie. I just don't think they gave her a lot to do, because I feel like Julia became Julia was the bigger star in terms of just the acting. That's just how I view it. But I love the first one, because the practical effects when the body's coming, like, for that time, even still watching it, I'm like, that seems impressive. I love
it. I just laughed.
Liam.
I say with the first one, like, everything about it, I mean, like you said, with the practical and just everything about it. And then, like, obviously, like, doing my research a little bit when looking into the series a little bit more, I mean, the movie was done under $1 million, which at the time, like, that is super crazy. Because now, especially with the amount of work that they did, because even today, you don't see horror films done like this. And even if they do, like, the practical stuff, it's not as good as, like, stuff like Hellraiser. I mean, I always go back to when I'm comparing movies, and especially when I find out a lot of it is done practical, I always go to this movie and compare it, because I find this to be a good example of how to do practical the right way.
Absolutely.
And then to find out under $1 million, like, that is insane, because it is, like, a masterpiece when it comes to all of this, like, set design and like the practical effects, and I mean, just everything. It was just
unheard of nowadays to be able to do something like that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, I also really enjoyed, because obviously it's such a taboo subject, I think, for, you know, the 80s. And I love Clive Barker for bringing this tale to us of, you know, the pain, the pleasure, and how we intermix them. And that really, I mean, Pinhead's not truly from hell in a sense. He's just, like, you know, I always rooted for Pinhead, even though, I wouldn't even say he's technically truly evil.
Exactly. Every time I talk to somebody and I say, like, what's their horror, like, villain or something, horror movie character villain, and they say Pinhead, I'm like, I don't find him to be exactly villain. Now, later on in the series, yes, I do consider him a villain, because I feel like 3 and 4 is when he really does become the protagonist, and he is just killing. But in the first two, I don't find him to actually be the villain. I mean, I think he's just in between, kind of like the judgment. He is the judge of sin and sinners. So I don't know. I find him in between. He's not necessarily good, but he's not necessarily bad. Yeah.
And he's bound to the whole, I mean, if you don't open the box, I'm just saying, you're good.
He's minding his business until you go into his territory. So you messing with the wrong one.
And you can bargain with him. Like, I still remember when I was watching the first movie, and the way she's like, Frank's alive. And I was just like, damn. Okay, Kirstie, you're kind of smart.
Yeah, exactly. And even later on in the series too, I mean, he really does keep his promises. I know, I believe it's, I don't know if it's Deader or which one, when Kirstie ends up coming back into the series, and once again,
I did like that one.
Yeah, I did like that one too. He still kind of seems like, I mean, those are my favorite, because he keeps his promises. He's not malicious in a way in like the other films take him to be. Like, in other ones, he's just in this world, and especially like in 3, Hell on Earth. I love the storyline, but it kind of seems like senseless killings in a way, because they're just killing people in clubs that there's really no reason for it. Unlike in these two films, the people who are dying really do deserve it. They really yes. do.
Yeah.
I love the second one, but I was always upset that obviously Andrew Robinson never came back because of, budgets, or he wanted more money. And so that's why Julia came back, which I'm okay with that, because she makes a great villain. And so Liam, I'm really like just kind of shocked. Well, what were your thoughts on Julia and the second movie, Liam?
Still just a shade.
Oh my gosh. I'm just surprised too, but I definitely respect it.
I think growing up watching, as I said, things like EastEnders, she was acting far too much like the people in that show for me to be able to be like, oh well, she's doing good acting, because I was like, she's just being the same as a soap star. It's like, it's very like, I'm a bitch.
I guess I didn't get that, but I that's different, I guess.
Yeah, because everybody sees things differently. It's just, yeah. But I would be happy.
Is it more like the actress?
I do feel like it is the actress that put us off. I found her just to be very soap star rather than fledged actress kind of thing, which is weird because she is in The Golden Compass and I enjoyed her in The Golden Compass. she does go across as a soap actress in that, but that comes with age. I would be happy to watch more of these films though.
That's good.
I'm happy to hear that.
Exactly. Okay.
Well, I'll take that as a win.
You're not getting that from George and Ben, so take it as well.
Yeah, no, they hated this. They were like, how dare you make me sit through this? And I'm like, I don't think you understand the relevance. And I also just don't understand
why they didn't like it.
Okay. Well, I guess it's so, to me, Pinhead is just iconic. But also, I'm always just, I was slightly, I was turned on back in the day. I'm like, okay.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, sure. And also, I did like Uncle Frank. He was clearly a bad guy, but...
He was, yeah.
Awful. I didn't mind the one that came in the third one. That, dickhead who bought the pillar.
Yes. Oh,
he was quite hot. Name?
Yeah.
JD or something.
Reason. Yeah, JD, yeah.
That's
the only reason a lot of people like that movie.
I'm the opposite because I like the lead actress because she was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So I was always a fan of her. And I'm like, oh, this is completely different from what I'm used to seeing you as. And I also thought her character wasn't, I love Kirstie, but obviously, when they introduce her in the first film, she's still kind of, she's smart, but she's that. And then in the second one, which I do like that it takes place directly after the first one, so I kind of loved that continuity. Even still, I was like, you're still, I love the actress, but I was like, dang, I was like, I don't know. She also was smart, but same thing. She's like,
Yeah, I agree. I think, is her name Ashley Lawrence, the actress? Yes, I love her. And Kirstie in the book is way more, is like a lot different compared to what we get on screen. Because the one thing I love, the second film, in my opinion, is my favorite. I would always put it 2-1 and then 3. But something that always really kind of turned me off when it came to the second film was kind of just how badass Kirstie became, even though in the first film she is very timid, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was just a really big shift. All of a sudden she's fighting off these demons and stuff, and it's within hours of the events of the first film, when she is completely hopeless in the first film altogether. She has a few good runs in the first film, but like, I think that was just the one thing in the storyline. I'm just like, how is she just going full force with these demons? She has no knowledge about them. She only knows like the tiniest bit about Pinhead himself, but she's off going into their world like nothing. I don't know. That was just the one thing that kind of like always bothered me about Kirstie's character.
Like, how?
But I do love her.
How is she gonna full on skin Julia and wear that, her skin?
Yeah, that was another thing too. I was like, that is just outrageous to like wear her skin around and stuff. I'm like, okay, all right. It's a little much, but
it came okay. I was like, okay. I mean, huh. I will say, like, the mute actress, or, well, I guess she wasn't eventually mute, but like, I felt I got more emotion from her, honestly.
You really did, yes.
And I love Ashley Lawrence, because I still think she is able to go toe-to-toe, but I do think her character shifts just too drastic from one to two.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a little weird for me in general, like with that second film. Like, I love the second film. The second film is like my go-to every time I watch the Hellraiser series, but that is just the one thing. Every time I'm like, if I could just change that, I would. I would love that. Because I don't know why we always need in horror movies, like, the protagonist to be this upright, strong person going in. Like, I would love this. I would have loved to see Kirstie and the girl being terrified going in there, because I know I would have. Like, oh, I don't care. I mean, I didn't even know what, like, if I would have been in the first film, I don't know what I would have just seen when I sent the Cenobites back, but then you're going into their world. Like, I would have been terrified. I wouldn't have wanted to do that, but I think, yeah, I just, that was the one thing I would change. But otherwise, I think these movies are, like, perfect, in my opinion. Like, you can't go wrong with them, in my book.
They have some of the best, like, some of the most gnarly kills. I think in the second one, I mean, that mattress scene where,
oh my gosh, oh, him just like slicing his body up, like, yes. I still, every time I watch that scene, I feel it. And like, and I'm also someone, one of those people, if I see a bug around me and I like lose it or something, like, I will constantly be like feeling like something's on me for hours. And so I knew exactly what that person was feeling in that bed when he's cutting himself, feeling there's bugs on him, because I'm the same way with my fingernail. I'm scratching myself. I'm like, I need to take a shower. I need to wash up. I feel dirty after just seeing like a little spider. It's like, I knew exactly what that person was feeling.
Oh my god! I will say, like, if I walk through a web and I'm like, I just got home, I immediately like, I'm taking off the shirt. I'm like, I gotta put on. Nope.
Yep. Exactly.
Is this because you're in America and the spiders will kill you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they tend to say every house has two like brown recluse spiders. So. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we got.
Yeah,
here we got big old black widow spiders, and we find spider nests all over the place.
Yeah,
and like, we can keep our house as clean as possible, but these spider webs and these little spider eggs will always pop up out of nowhere. And I'm telling you, I tiptoe around the corners at night in my house because I'm afraid I'm gonna see one of those fuckers on my floor. Like, it is insane. I hate spiders so much.
I can deal with any type of, honestly, I can deal with any type of bug except spiders. That's like the only, like, whoa. I remember somebody actually, this is off topic, but somebody telling me a story how they were in the army, and obviously overseas, they've got like camel spiders. And they were in their RV. They were in their Humvee, and they ended up, one like came over like inside on the dash, and they're like, they hopped out, let it crash, and started shooting. They're like, what? And then when they saw it, they're like, oh yeah, okay,
yep, that makes sense, everything's rational.
That rational checks that, it would be mine.
Right. Jesus, I know, my mom always thinks I'm the craziest when I tell her like, we need to burn down the house when I see a spider, and I'm like, no, that is serious, like, we need to burn this house down. Because wherever there's one, there's hundreds more where that came from. And I don't want to be anywhere near it. I will lose everything just to a black widow. I don't care. Burn it down.
I feel even more dramatic now because mine aren't even poisonous and I'm still just kidding. Burn it all!
Exactly.
Yep, nope. They are, yeah, they'll kill you here.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Then again, fun fact, it's funny because they don't have snakes over in the UK like we do here. So
I'm in Arizona where Arizona is literally the snake pit. Mm-hmm. You find snakes everywhere. I mean, I can't even tell you how many snakes I've hit just driving to work days. Oh. So, I mean, it's terrifying. Yeah, I mean, you'll look at the front of your car, they'll just see a dead snake on the inside of your tires and stuff. It is, oh, disgusting. I hate it.
I'm very happy to have any of that.
That was a good foray, because that's humorous. But, well, back to...
Sorry.
Back to Hellraiser. What I will say, two for me is also my most favorite, just because I feel it goes a little bit deeper into the mythology, while three is the most entertaining because yes. I do love when Pinhead just does like just fucks up everything. And then we also get to see so many different Cenobite looks. I mean, yes. It was only natural that dude had a jackhammer in his head. I thought that
oh,
was,
I know.
I was like, that's hilarious. Clever.
It really was. I was entertained by the one thing I can say about the Hellraiser series is no matter how bad they are, you can always be 100% sure the Cenobites are always on point. Like I have not yes. hated one Cenobite mm-hmm. in any of the films, even the ones that are in like the recent, like 2000, I think it was like 2008 and stuff, and or 12. I don't care. I will fight anybody on this. There has not been one Cenobite look that was bad ever. Like I wanted to be every single one of them. Like that, I love that. And I think three really did start the trend of let's make these bitches look the craziest. And every single film after, like I loved it.
Yeah, it was good to watch when you were actually watching the scenes in the third one, because you could see people just dying. But then you could tell which ones he was going to make into Cenobites.
Exactly, yes.
Because the ones that were getting made into Cenobites had like ridiculous things happen. Like everyone else was just getting like a chain through them or something. And then like there was then obviously you went to the DJ with the CDs. And I was
that was so clever. So clever.
And I was just like, that is clever. And I think that's why I liked three more. Just because I enjoyed the cleverness of watching them make the Cenobites. And then I also enjoyed just the fact that you got to see a bit more violence in that one.
Well, and, I feel bad. Let me pull it up because I can't remember. I remember the actress's name, but her character, I think one of my, the actress's name. Oh, okay, Joey. So I think one of my favorite things is where she runs into the church, though. And she's sitting there talking about, you know, I forgot, she asked him, do you believe in hell and the devil? And then he's like, no, child.
He's like, no. He's no child. These are all make-believe. She's like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, so campy. I absolutely love that scene.
It's one of my favorites. And then I love that then Pinhead even takes out the pens and like sticks it in. I'm like, oh. And
the stigmatas. Yeah, I was like, oh, they know what they were doing. I was like, this is good. I love this.
It is probably, yeah, like it's the most enjoyable in terms of there's just so much happening. I think two's more emotional because I do love that Kirsty, which even still I'm like, girl, why the fuck would you go back? But it's because she believes her dad's there, which I loved the idea that, you know, it was Frank reaching out to her. That was
right.
Mm-hmm. That scene was great in his own personal hell.
Oh, yes. Oh. That scene, like, I mean, in general, I think two is my favorite just because I love anything hospital related and I love the psychiatric and like the medical underline of everything. And just seeing that scene where she's in that bed and she sees, obviously she thinks it's her dad, but it's obviously Frank, and he says, I'm in hell. I'm like, what? such an icon. It's so simple. It is the simplest thing ever. I mean, there's no jump scare. It's gory, but it's in aspects of other films and scenes in that movie, it's not that gory. So I don't know, for some reason, it just, that scene always just, every time I think of Hellraiser, my mind goes like straight to that one. I don't know what it is. It's just so striking.
Absolutely. Well, I love, obviously, when you bring up the hospital aesthetic, because everything's so white and clean, and then you've got this
exactly that body and red.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like there are several other movies that have maybe, I wouldn't say like, I feel that borrowed from that, because it's such an iconic scene, and it works
is, yeah.
because it's creepy and it kind of gets under your skin. But yeah exactly. For me, I did. That's, I just, I love that. I still think Kirstie's batshit crazy for thinking, yeah, I could go down there and I can get my dad back.
Exactly. Exactly. As if she knows all the rules to this unknown universe. I'm like, okay, bitch, let's go. Like, do you have a survival guide in the back of your pocket that like knows everything? I was like, how did you know what to do every single step of the way? That's so crazy to me.
I did also like the hospital aspect. I thought it was really super creepy when he goes to like the basement, like it felt like top secret lower level, because no hospital room. Has it. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, what kind of hospital is this where they have inmates in these steel rooms and like the boiler, the steam, and it just looks all decrepit. I'm like, what kind of hospital is this? Wait, where would you find a hospital like this anywhere in the world? Like, unless it was like some real messed up shit. Like, I don't know.
It was the 80s. Things were different.
Oh, okay.
Ask Yutaka, he knows. He was in the 80s.
That's why I love these films, I guess. I don't know. I loved that aspect. And I also loved to see that, you know, there were more puzzle boxes and, you know, this psychiatrist just, I mean, I got his motive. I didn't agree with it, and he got what was coming to him, but two's just, I don't know, two's a real good, it gets under my skin every time I watch it, because some of the just the storylines, but also that I love the kills and just the look, the aesthetic. It's just so visually pleasing.
I also saw, like, going back to that boiler room / basement area, I also kind of saw that as a nod to, like, Hell on Earth in a way, because it was literally, like, going down into hell and into kind of what I think, like, the patients there kind of feel like, because up top, it is all white. It is all squeaky clean. There's beds. Everything just was so perfect. But then you go down into this boiler room like thing where the cells and the rooms that are supposed to help people in these hospitals are rusted, they're bloody, it's disgusting. There's the steam that kind of like resembles like chemicals, and I don't know, it kind of gave me the feeling of like what these patients were seeing. Like it really did like seem like that way, because especially with the psychiatrist bringing patients that were not in tune completely with their selves. There was something wrong with them. They were not physically there. Even though their shells of bodies were there. I think that really kind of went into that storyline. Like, that's what they see. That is their hell. Like, you don't necessarily need a supernatural being to take you there. You're already there. And it's closer than you think it is. That's why I really like too, because I'm like, there's some underlining things and concepts that really do, like, if you look really closely, you can see like they were smart. This movie was a smart move.
I agree.
I hadn't thought of it like that, but that makes sense.
I mean, it really, I feel like the first one just was that we're just getting our toes wet, you know, in with the mythology, and to just really opened it up. Now, granted, I think the first one was more pain and pleasure, whereas this one was, I felt this was hell. Like, that's why I really did enjoy that. But then, of course, then you have the third one, which, it goes off the rails, but it was a lot of fun. And I mean, that came out in the 90s, and that felt like that was a 90s horror film of that caliber.
I agree. Yeah,
it was very... Yeah, the jump was a lot. Even though it didn't seem like it was that big of a time jump between them making it. Like, aesthetic wise,
it was completely different.
Yeah.
I think it was also targeted too. I think this was when the series started getting targeted into like trying to jump to the younger audience, the more like teenager or young adult, because the first two films, not that they feel old, but they do feel like more of like a horror like fan's dream, like where it really does speak to the horror genre. And then the third film goes really into like, oh, let's just have fun. Let's let the viewer have fun with us. Something that you don't have to be 100% focused on the storyline. It's because I don't think that movie had anything to do with storyline. Like, it was all over the place. Storyline was pretty irrelevant. I think it really was just them being like, we need to get a younger audience to obviously like promote the film and stuff, but it's also just to be fun. Just to have fun.
That's why I liked it.
Put as many Cenobites as you can in this. We don't care about anything else. As I was watching this, I don't remember anything per se about the plot. I mean, we get to learn a little bit about Pinhead's backstory, which I felt was just odd and hokey to me.
I was like,
this seems...
I quite enjoyed that.
Really? It just felt out of place.
Not really. PTSD is quite I think for a 90s film to be talking about PTSD coming back from war, that's like quite ahead of its time. We're just getting around to start talking about that now.
The message was good. I don't know if maybe the way that they presented it, it was a little confusing to me, especially if like I said, with them trying to go with a younger audience, and this film kind of felt like they were trying to make it where you didn't have to watch the previous ones. But then the second one also goes into kind of that backstory of Pinhead too, and I'm like, did we need that though? Did we need to know they were humans beforehand? I mean, I kind of figured they already kind of were, but getting into like the military and him being a sergeant, I like that. It was just the combining of the two when he was supposed to be kind of like, his soul was supposed to be split up. That was weird to me, because I'm like, how did he get into the statue? Like, that was something that didn't get explained at all to me. Like, I how did he get from being the Hell Priest and someone who was kind of a ruler of his domain to then being stuck in this pillar? Well, I didn't understand that.
Wasn't it the end of two? The end of two, the
when he dies,
when Kirsty makes him a thingy, makes him human again, he gets like, and then goes onto the thing.
Oh, you know what?
And then at the end of two, it pulls him into the bed and then rises up from the mattress.
I did forget that at the very end of two, where the pillar comes up from the mattress. I do remember that now. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Now, I'm curious, as a club owner, who the fuck wants that in their club? I don't care. I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and have this in my personal bedroom. Maybe.
I don't know about my personal bedroom, but I did really want to have it. When I saw that, I was like, I want that. I kind of want that. That'd be something I would decorate my home in, like, for sure, 100%. I don't know if maybe in my bedroom, and I don't know if having sex in front of it gave me, like, the power it gave JD or whatever his name was, because that was a little weird. Like, he just put it just strategically by the bed where, like, all these faces were watching. I don't know. I don't like that. I was like, ugh. Something about that makes me uncomfortable.
I think just something about him in general made me uncomfortable.
He was a horrible person, so he kind of got but I did like that one girl's death that got like skinned. That was
his little hookup day where she her whole skin just got right off. I was like, oh my god. I was like, and especially after having that really prolonged sex scene that I don't think any of us wanted, but
right,
probably did enjoy. It was like, oh my god, there was just so many different emotions just within 5 minutes of that scene. I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to feel like kinky and all sort of way, but then you're seeing this girl get skinned. I'm like, I don't know what y'all want me to feel. I'm getting all these mixed emotions. I don't know if to be scared or to be horny.
Right.
Or both at the same time.
I was going to say, both.
Exactly. I mean, that's part of, you know, Hellraiser. I am then curious, since you just watched it, Liam, what are your thoughts on the fourth one? Because that one, okay, I will say, when I watched the fourth one, I don't feel like it took any care or consideration to any of the films prior.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, it did seem very separate to the universe. I did chuckle when I seen Adam Scott.
Oh, I forgot he was in that. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Yep.
I was like, okay. Clearly a very early role, even though he looks exactly the same.
Yeah, that man doesn't age.
It could have been a year ago.
Exactly.
If you take it out and don't act as if it's like a continuous story, mm-hmm. I think it's quite enjoyable, because obviously the 96 aspect of the film does follow on from the end of 3, where the end of 3 is showing you the building. So like you still do get a slight continuation, so that I didn't mind that. And I kind of enjoyed seeing how the box was created.
I liked
Angelique.
I like, but I hated the space part that I thought was like, okay, guys.
If we could have taken out the space part, this would have been a really good movie, in my opinion. And like I said, mm-hmm. like if it wasn't like, if I thought of it more of the lore, obviously part of it, like I really did like it. I liked where the box came from. I liked how the family bloodline obviously is mm-hmm. cursed and stuff like that. And that there was really no way. I do like that. The space part took me completely out of it. I, even when I'm watching that movie, I always just turn it off when it gets to the space part, because I thought killing the toy maker was a good ending. And like his family, like his wife and, or I believe it was his wife and his kid, like ended up sending the Cenobites back. I like that. I thought that would have been a good ending. Like I really did enjoy that, but they just had to, it really did feel like 3 films put into an hour or so long movie. And I was like, I'm confused. Yeah. I was so confused.
But wasn't it supposed to be different? I did hear a little, a little thing online.
Yes, this was like, I know like they never could, I know the fourth movie was like the start of the downfall of Hellraiser, where directors were leaving, some were coming mm-hmm. back, some were replacing others. I know this one was like definitely a storyline that had been was not the one that they originally started with. And so it does feel like that, because there were so many jumps within the movie that it does seem like so many different people were hands-on with this project. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad film, because I mean, again, I find it more of the entertaining mm-hmm. like films.
Yeah.
I do know that like a lot of this film was just all over the place when it came to in the makings of it.
I will say, I think that one's probably has the biggest budget, though, because it does look most stylized it doesn't look cheap. Not that there's anything wrong with like the first two, because I still really enjoy them. But I felt like this one was, it's the cleanest looking in terms of
it is.
Of
it
that.
Did, yeah, it yeah. did. Yeah. Especially because a lot of the, I know they still within, I like that the Hellraiser series does still go with practical in everything a lot of the mm-hmm. time, but this one was also a mix with practical and CGI. And I actually didn't mind it, because this was the age where CGI was at its good point, where mm-hmm. it wasn't too phony looking, yet it wasn't so expensive to make it look realistic. Like I did really enjoy the set designing, practical, CGI, like it all was a really like appeasing film to look at. I was pleased looking at it, at least.
I did chuckle when the whole film opens just on the space station. And I was just like, it opened up and I went, isn't that just the box opened up?
Yeah. Yep.
And then it got to the end of the film and it was the box opened up. So
it was
them.
The box.
Yeah, I was like,
exactly.
They could at least have disguised it a fucking little bit. Jesus Christ.
They really could have. They really could have.
It was literally. It was literally like a cut and paste, like when you're like teaching a child how to make a box.
It is so funny too, because I remember as like when I first saw the Hellraiser movie, I made like my own little box at home. And then when I saw that film, I'm like, wait, that's just the pattern for the box. I was like, y'all couldn't have done a little bit with it, because at the end they're supposed to make this big reveal that, oh, it's not just a spaceship, it's the box itself, and it all closes up. I was like, girl, we saw that 50 minutes ago. I was like, we knew that was what's gonna happen. I was like, y'all couldn't be a little inconspicuous with it, not a, right? Even a little bit.
Certainly not.
Yeah,
that was far too complicated.
I guess so. Oh man,
I would like to know then, with because I think this is going to be, I'm really curious to see how this is going to work in terms of, now we've got two Hellraiser properties coming out.
Yes.
One on Hulu, mm-hmm. one on HBO Max.
Yep.
They're not going to be a rights issue.
Yep. I believe, is it the Hulu one where Clive Barker finally got the rights to it? I believe, or was that the HBO? I can't remember.
It's the whoever's has the female Pinhead, which I'm excited about.
I'm excited for,
because I love that actress. Oh,
I love her too. And it, okay, so then that must be the one, because in the book, Hellraiser, or Pinhead, obviously, he is described as a female. They never described Pinhead as ever being male. They said they were kind of in between, but the pins that were stuck in his head were encrusted with jewels, and his voice was feminine, and his silhouette was a little bit more feminine. But they said that his demeanor and his stance was more male. So I like that they're doing that with the series, because that shows that they're really taking into consideration not just what the source material we have in movies, but the book, which is an amazing read. It's a very short book, but it is an amazing read. I really do like that. When I heard that, I was like, oh. And I mean, come on, a female Pinhead. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I'm ready for it. So I'm amazing. So excited. Once they said that, I'm like, okay, well, I want to know who you're going to cast. And when they dropped the cast, I was like, oh, damn. I was like, that's
a little funny thing too, was, I don't know if you guys heard, but Gottmik actually auditioned for it after they saw her, obviously her final. And I was like, okay, I could see it, but I don't know if they necessarily deserve it just from doing a really good thing. But I did think it was really funny. And I think that would have been really cool to see a Rue girl and someone like Gottmik having that opportunity. But the actress that they have playing now, I mean,
I'm like,
I'm perfect.
You could give Gottmik a cameo. I love Gottmik. I don't know if Gottmik can act, you know. I think,
have we not seen The Bitch Who Stole Christmas?
Oh, all right,
they cannot act.
But I'm just saying, I think Gottmik would be great for a cameo,
because
that was one of my favorite things to see on Drag Race, is Gottmik coming out like that. I'm like,
it was amazing.
My horror loving heart just was, I was like, I don't care, Gottmik's my winner. And then Simone did all that, and I'm like, well, shit, now I'm bored. Right.
It's like, oh, god damn it, you know. And what I especially enjoyed about Gottmik too was that it was for the final, the most important runway of the whole season. Because I mean, obviously we've seen so many different interpretations of horror movie characters within the Drag Race and the franchise and stuff. I mean, we got Crystal Methods, Freddy. Yeah, and it's like, none of them really made that for their final. It was always something on the side. It was always something, or like, what's the other one? Saint's sister, drag sister, Aiden. Aiden did the Shining reference and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like all of these. I love that it was just the vocal point, and it was on the biggest stage of RuPaul's Drag Race, that it was like, ooh, it just,
it got a great spotlight. It's probably one of my favorites from that season, just mine because too. They could have given
Gottmik. No, it is Hulu.
Oh, Hulu's got
it. Is wait. Hulu that's got that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, then I mean, I'm gonna be watching both, but
I was about to say, I will be watching both, and I will be just as excited for both of them, regardless of who's playing, honestly. I think
that's true.
I think it is time. We need Hellraiser back on our TVs. We need it to be done. Hopefully done right. And then also bringing in a taste of today's horror. I mean, we've seen it with Scream, with Scream 5 coming out, Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends and all those films. And I think we're ready. I even with the Candyman series, like Candyman and Hellraiser, two of my favorite Clive Barker stories, I was like, don't touch them. But after the new Candyman, I wasn't mad that they actually were actually pretty good. It wasn't my favorite, but it was my favorite, but
I will say Nia DaCosta, like the direction, like that was one of the most gorgeous horror films I have ever seen.
It really was like the
production value and her directing was amazing. Will give all the props to. I had other issues with that film, but
I did too. Yeah, but
I want to see Nia do more horror though. I would love to see.
I completely agree.
But I love Clive Barker, and I'm just happy to see that hopefully this brings more spotlight, because I think one is Hulu's the series, and then is HBO Max a movie, or is it two different series?
All the way around.
Oh, Hulu's the movie.
Hulu's doing a movie.
Yeah. HBO Max has the series. Okay.
Series. Yeah. Right.
I mean, either way, I'm ready for it because I'm
so ready.
Pinhead is just iconic. Whoever plays them, except in the last films, I don't know who they got to play him. But I was last film, not
that
okay.
was a mess. That was messy. Those last two, the very recent one, I forget. He looked the scariest. I will say when his it kind of looked like the rib cage was coming out. Judgment, Hellraiser Judgment. I thought he looked the scariest. The one before that looked goofy as hell. And I was so upset that they let that on screen. I don't know who approved that. But I was like, y'all made him look goofy as hell. And y'all need to go to hell for that. Literally, go to hell for that. But I did think Hellraiser Judgment was the scariest Pinhead, in my opinion. But I still think Doug Bradley did I say Doug Bradley? I didn't mean that. That's the other guy. What's his name again?
No, Doug Bradley's the original.
Oh, is it? Is it? Okay, good. That's what I thought. I was like, wait, is that right? Yeah. I always get Douglas Jones and Doug Bradley mixed up all the time. Because their name is so similar. I was like, wait, did I just say the wrong one? That would have showed how bad of a Hellraiser fan I was. Oops.
No, Doug Bradley, he does such a great job. And honestly, just watching him in interviews too, he's just so appreciative of what it's brought him. And I love that. And, you know, I am always a fan of actors or actresses who, you know, have been in horror series for a very long time. And they're just thankful to what it's brought them or just to be
part
of that. And Doug Bradley really... I mean, granted, he kind of got screwed when they're like, we don't want you back or we can't afford you.
Right. And I'm like, right. Oh, and I think it was definitely afford. And you know what? I do know because I go on his Instagram lives all the time. Him and his wife are just absolutely hilarious together. I do know that he hasn't even watched any of the other Hellraisers. So, I mean, I don't even think they might have even contacted him to play the other after they were done because he's never seen any of the other ones. And I'm like, well, it's just shit. You cannot just like not offer it to him. Even if they say no, at least offer it to the damn man. I mean, I think he deserves
he's earned that right. Yeah.
Yeah, he really has because he's already done all of these films and then you all just change him out at it like that. Like, no, I do know that there needs to be change. At least put him in a cameo scene. Do something. If you guys can't afford him all the way, but like do something for him. Put some respect on his name.
That's a damn
he shit. Deserves it.
I mean, he showed up in a Wrong Turn sequel. Actually, he was pretty fun in that Wrong Turn sequel. But
he was.
I mean, I'm like, the dude still got it. You guys could.
Yeah.
Well,
the Hulu that they put him back in there, hopefully.
Well, so. I just quickly got up the page.
Okay.
So. The Hulu version is the one who they've cast correctly and who they've said they're going to stick to the book.
Okay.
The HBO Max version is the one that Clive Barker actually has involvement with.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
But they haven't been cast. They only have producers and executive producers. But Danny McBride is joining them for the HBO Max version.
I'm not upset with that because he really turned Halloween around. Now, granted, Halloween Kills, maybe not my favorite per se. I loved it, but it was definitely filler. However,
it was definitely a filler movie. Yeah.
Halloween 2018 was
amazing. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
And
it was really good.
I mean, he brought back Jamie Lee. Who knows? Maybe they could bring back Doug Bradley. I would be okay for that. I would be here for that.
I'm still happy for the other casting.
I want more Hellraiser, honestly. I think it's been so long since we've had a good just Hellraiser moment. So.
And I mean, anything Hellraiser is amazing, but I even know too, like the Dead by Daylight game, they did a really good job with putting him in the game too. Like the way he looks in the game, I mean, they've got the voice lines of Pinhead. I do know that it was out of the game for a little bit because they didn't get it right at first, but they've managed to get it perfect to where they're adding his lines back in the box and stuff. So I'm excited because it just shows that, like, with Pinhead, you cannot mess it up. You need to do it right and you need to do it well. So I do like that with this Hellraiser series and the whole franchise, it's not just after the first couple films have come out, they've been a little bit of a bust, but I think everybody has relatively taken the series seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just something they could just trash the name with. Like, they really had to put a lot of work in.
No, I'm really excited for it. I mean, I love horror, obviously. So I will certainly watch it. I mean,
as I said, I'd quite happily give them a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, if Clive Barker is going to give his stamp of approval or is going to be involved,
you've got me sold.
I mean, if Hulu's is a one-off, but you've got great casting, all right, okay, I'm sold. Because both have also budget, and I expect to see some wicked kills, or I hope.
They really got a lot to fill with the Cenobite designs too, because they need to know how to do new designs, but keeping it with obviously the iconic look. They got a lot on their plate to fill, so I'm very excited to see what they do with it.
I think that's always very difficult with horror films nowadays, though.
Yeah.
Long-standing franchises blending, you know, old with the new. And it's funny because we talked about Scream, and today was the first day I actually saw somebody post something really bad about it. I'm like, damn, I loved it. But someone said it was hot garbage and Wes would be rolling in his grave. I was like, shit. I was like, no, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. One of the people I've been following for years, and we've been good friends, and we resonated with horror all the time, and he's a horror movie page and stuff like that on Instagram. He thought it was garbage, and I was like, okay, all right, I think that's a little much. I didn't think it was, I don't think so. Scream 5 for me was amazing. I still think it kind of holds its place behind 4 still. I do like Scream 4 a little bit more storyline wise, but I didn't think it was a bad movie by a long shot. Like, I thought it was an amazing movie. It was absolutely beautiful. Seeing people say it was garbage and stuff, it throws me back. Because I don't think any of the Scream movies are garbage, even though some of them might not be the best, but I don't think they're at all. Yeah. None of them are a bad film at all.
But people who said number 4 was garbage when that came out, they're now looking at it differently and saying, you know what, actually, it was quite good.
Yeah.
It's a great rewatch, I'm just saying. It'll be very interesting because I feel that's going to be, you know, in franchises too. Like, I will certainly, when the new Hellraisers come out, I am certainly going to compare them to what's come before them. But I'm hoping that they can do something great that is somewhat nostalgic, but something new that we've not seen. Because that, I think, will be, I think that to me will be key.
Yeah, I agree too, 100%.
If not, it's going to get
crazy
roasted.
Would it be?
Oh, yes.
If they released both at the same time.
I'd be okay with it because I'd be watching.
Exactly. I would have all this time to watch it. I would clear my schedule just to watch both of them.
I would be, if it's on HBO Max, all I ask is do not do weekly episodes, which they probably will. I'm going to want to binge it. I mean, that's so, I think streaming services, the only thing Netflix does right in terms, it's, well, they do a few other things, but they put it all at once. And they do, some of us who are able to binge it, we binge it. If you can't, it's cool. Because I'm not going to go and spoil it for other people. Right. I'll spoil it for myself, but you know.
Exactly.
I just, but before we go, we did put on Reddit that we were going to have you on, and I wanted to see if we could ask some fan questions.
Of course. Oh my God, yes.
Because to be honest, everybody, I will say, honestly, every time that we've had any of the Dragula artists on here, people just love it because you all are so much fun. But I joke with the other co-hosts, but I mean, drag really made this channel. So I don't think we would have as much if it were not for any of, well, for Dragula and just for you all coming on. So that means a lot to us.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love being here. It is
and
so
it allows
fun.
Me to say it was me.
Yep, right. Yep,
exactly. He does. So one of the first questions, which I kind of was already going to ask myself too, would you ever think about appearing if they did Resurrection?
Of course, 100%. It is so funny because not anytime I post anything on Instagram or anytime I just think of drag in general, it's always being compared to Resurrection. And I mean, there has been hundreds of people who have told me I should do it, and there wouldn't be a doubt in my mind. I would 100% do it. That just, it seems like so much fun. The thing I really loved about the first Resurrection is it's not a competition, even though we are fighting for a chance back. It is more about showcasing what is important and what the Boulets think is important is the art, is the struggle when it comes to art, is the backstory of everybody. It's not us in a room together arguing about who's going to make it to the top and stuff like that. When they bring back artists for Resurrection, we are all on an equal plane. We all have something to show. We all have the approval at that point from the Boulets. So we know that we are worth it. So when it comes to the transformation part, it just means so much more to me in general. So every time I just think about another Resurrection, I get so excited because I would love to reappear again. It would be my dream.
I would have to say that, you know, don't come for me, Drag Race fans. I love All Stars, but Resurrection is just a whole nother level because we get to know more about the artists themselves, I think. And I just thought that was so cool, so unique. And like you said, yes, it's a competition, but it's more than that. And I think it's very nice because I think even on Dragula, we only get that very little time with each individual, where in Resurrection, we really got to see them and their element at their most comfortable, to where they could actually bring out the best of what they could bring.
Exactly. Yeah, it is just one of those platforms. I mean, Dragula as a platform is already so amazing, but Resurrection really does stand out as being the best. Like it really is. And I say that as a fan. Not even because I'm biased because I was on the show, but I mean, watching it as a fan, it was just something that felt more wholesome and more, and just more serious. And it something about it just resonated into my heart more than Dragula did. So just thinking about Resurrection, the possibilities, I would be lost if I said no. I don't know what I would have done. Like, I don't know what else important I have to say no to it, honestly. I don't think anything else would come near it for me to say no, so I'd be an idiot for saying no if I did.
Another question we had then is, what has the transition been like, though, to also, you know, come from being an online artist to then now also being now on stage?
So for me, at least, the biggest transformation was having the confidence, because obviously we see in episode one, I wasn't the most confident in my on stage performance. And mm-hmm. I think that was because, and I mentioned it in the reunion, that that was my first time being on a real stage. I consider that, I don't say it's my first time being on stage, but it was my first time being on a real stage, mm-hmm. something that really mattered to me.
Oh, of course.
And yeah, and being in that situation, it really did make me a stronger person. And now today I know kind of my abilities and what I'm capable of. And I've truly found my style now. Before, I was going off based off things I've seen and that I mm-hmm. tried mimicking. And I realized that wasn't the way to do it, because mimicking somebody else's style isn't going to help my style at all. So I, over the time of Dragula being not only done filming with, but being aired, I really did learn my true self and what I wanted my style to be and what I wanted to be like, and just feeling great about it, not feeling like I had to cater to anybody else, because I felt like I did have to on the show. I felt like I was kind of trying to blend in with everybody, even though I clearly wanted to stand out. And I think that was my downfall, but I would say that is what's going to help if I was to return to mm-hmm. a season of Dragula. That's something that I would definitely excel in now that I didn't before.
Oh, that's good. And I know, since we actually haven't got to chat since the reunion, how was it? That reunion was very entertaining.
It was very eventful, that is for sure. It was an experience, for sure. I think I was more of the comical relief for most people, just because you just see me just sitting there, because I couldn't talk about anything, because obviously I wasn't there for anything except for little things and stuff. But, you know, the reunion also has a special part of me, because it shows that this is truly a family. It is a family that not only do some of us not like each other, but we can comfortably say that to each other. We don't tiptoe around it. And even the people who try to tiptoe around it, they get called out for it. And that's what I love about it, because we all have to be accountable for our actions as well. But, you know, it's that part of the season where we all get to be back for one last time in the same room, for a lot of us, that we can share unwanted opinions sometimes, and mm-hmm. opinions that some people do need to hear, and then overall just have fun, forget that we were all just in this drama and everything, and just be a family again. It really was nice seeing everybody, and especially being surrounded by the people that I cherish so much as well, because I mean, I had Betty on the side of me, I had Coco right across from me. I did really feel like I was surrounded by people that I genuinely loved, and it was also nice to see some people make up and get mm-hmm. an understanding, because obviously a lot of us had some tension in between us, and from that point on none of us let out that tension, because we had to wait until that reunion. So it was a really like relief off all of our shoulders, because we were just able to just let it all go and then go into the real world and hopefully do the best we can, and remember it is just a show. It was mm-hmm. for entertainment. At this point, after the reunion, we all go to our normal lives, we all get to do our own things, and we just got to be supportive of one each other, because we're going to be in this for the long run, no matter if some people don't want to believe it. But we are all in this now for the rest of our lives, because we are only a few that will know this experience firsthand, what we went through. Mm-hmm. It's just the 11 of us that know what events we went through, and that makes us stronger as a family.
It did look like you had such a fun time, though.
It was, I mean, it really was.
Yeah, them little snippets of when the cameras were off, just hilarious to watch.
Oh, and you know what was so funny too is I've seen a few people on Reddit too saying they didn't think that was, they thought it was planned. That was 100%. I mean, Hosa was like, why aren't the cameras on? And they genuinely told us that the cameras were off. I mean, they made it look like we were not a part of it. I'm so happy that they didn't put this one, but I remember they were pumping us full of, obviously they were giving us drinks and stuff like that. And I don't even know how many glasses of, I don't even know if it was wine or champagne at that moment. I was so gone. I just remember telling him that I had to like go to the restroom. And when I tell you, I sped through those cameras, like right in front of those cameras. I was like Blade Runner. I was so fast running past those cameras to go to the restroom because I was not going to make it. And I am so happy they didn't put that on film because I would have been so embarrassed because I'm just telling everybody, like, move out of my way. I have to go to the restroom right now because I was hours of filming and they pumping us full of alcohol and I have a small bladder as it is, but I'm literally like in White Chicks where they're like, move, bitch, and like getting it solved. I was in pain. I just remember telling Betty, I'm like, these bitches better move because I'm going to plow through anybody who gets in my way to that bathroom door.
I love a good White Chicks reference.
Hey, oh my God, it was so funny. That's all I could think of going on my way to the bathroom. I was like, I'm going to plow through anybody who gets in my way. Oh man, those moments were so good.
And then one final thing then too is I know I follow your socials and everything, but in case anybody doesn't, what is next for Formaldehyde?
So there's a few things. A YouTube channel is coming. It is going to be solely, yes, so exciting. It is going to be solely on reviewing horror movies and everything horror that I love because I've always wanted to do it.
Coming for our gig.
Oh my gosh, I learned it from the best, y'all. That's always been a dream. When I first started Instagram way back when I was like 14, I started as a horror movie reviewing channel, like a little page and stuff, and reviewing all the latest horror movies and stuff and getting horror movie props and stuff and reviewing them. So this has always been kind of a dream. Yeah, it has always been a dream of mine to have something like this. And so the YouTube channel is on its way. I know I've already filmed a few episodes and stuff like that and getting stuff ready. So excited for that to come on. There's going to be a lot of cool special guests and stuff to join us. And as long with the podcast too, that's coming out too. So those will kind of coincide with each other. So
it's a lot smart. Of fun
stuff is coming.
I mean, I saw Saint and Coco doing one. Honestly, in this day and age, if you're not hustling, I mean, you're not going to make it. So I think that's really awesome.
Exactly.
Even if it's coming for us, but okay. I will still listen and I will still watch because I love all of that.
Thank you. I will say I am a little bitter that Saint took my co-star because I wanted Coco to be a part of my podcast, but you know, that's all right. They do an amazing job on their podcast. I love their podcast. It is so funny. And so insightful too. I love the both of them. But yeah, I'm excited to see. I know Bitter just started her YouTube account with her show. So, you know, it's all coming together and I really love it. I love where everybody's going. But yeah, those are the two things for me that I'm getting going. So I'm excited for those, especially with this new year.
Oh, well, that's exciting to see. And we will promote that too, because I mean, there needs to be more horror out there. And I think, you know, when it comes to critics and reviewers, I think that on some of them, now some of them get horror and I appreciate that, but then I've seen others that they'll review it. And I'm like, I don't think you understand.
Right. Exactly.
So to know that another fan of horror is going to be out there reviewing horror, I think that's amazing.
Thank you. Yes, I'm extremely excited. This, like I said, it's always been a dream of mine to make this kind of a serious thing. And then to also add drag, which is also a big part of it, I think it's going to be a really good mix of things because I don't think I've quite seen very many. I know a lot of drag content is there, but it's not a lot of horror drag content still. Even though Dragula is a really popular thing, there needs to be a place like that on YouTube. There needs to be a place on Apple Music and stuff like that where drag and horror is of one and stuff like that. So I'm extremely excited to see that because it's something not only me as a creator wants to do, but it's something me as a fan would have liked to have seen years ago.
Yeah.
So for me to know exactly what I want, I think this will be a really good step in my career to just do it, since I'm not seeing anybody else do it anytime soon. Like, at least for me,
person to do it as well,
because
it takes It takes a fan to know what other fans want. So if you're running, going into this space, you know what people want. So it allows you to be able to provide it. And
exactly.
Everyone's winning.
Yeah. No, I think like at us as fans of horror, but also of drag, it's been honestly a huge delight just having you come on, and then all the other drag artists have come on. We love talking about that. So I don't want also anybody to think we do have more guests coming. So we're not competing, I promise. But don't come for us. But yeah, no, this has been super awesome. We'll put all your links down below. To everybody watching, to everybody listening, thank you. And then until next time, I don't know.
Don't forget to comment and subscribe.
This is why Liam's here. Yes, like, comment, subscribe, hit that notification bell. We do have merch, all the links below, and we do have more guests. Well, I guess I could tell you a couple of them. We are having Sig come back as well, Sigourney. And we are having Coco come back, and maybe a special guest. So stay tuned. We'll have more reviews, more interviews, and till next time. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Horror Hour. See you next time.